Wow. And the crowd goes berserk. You may not be able to hear it, but we're telling you. This is the Green Divas radio show. And today you have Green Diva Meg.
And Green Diva Lynn.
Yay, Green Diva Lynn.
All right.
Green Diva Lynn's my superhero this week because she has been so busy putting together this amazing Twitter chat for World Water Week.
Yay. Yeah, and by the time everybody listens to this, it'll be over, but we'll have some great, probably some more information about water issues on the site.
Well, you know, as we've been preparing for this, Lynn, I am just shocked again and again by the statistics and the reality that I don't think we live with very presently. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just don't think that there could be 800 million people that don't have access to clean water right now.
I know. It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's not in our backyard, so, you know, I guess we just feel like we don't have to think about it too much.
Well, you know, and in my backyard, it's literally like flooding. You know, this town is always on like flood alert. We have a lot of water, and it's really easy to not think about drought and other problems that are happening around the world.
Yeah, I guess unless, you know, the people of California, different story. They're living it now.
Yeah.
But they still have access to clean water. They're just having to conserve it like crazy.
Yeah. I think the deeper issue is this global thing that, you know, the fabulous Matt Damon is super active with his water.org. And we did get a chance to speak to them last week. Not to Matt Damon, but he's still very, very cool and very busy. And how cool is it, though, that he's stepping out there with his, you know, celebrity cachet and, you know.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
I really think he's, in terms of when I think of water, global water issues, he's the one that comes to mind.
And he's hot stuff.
And he's so cool, yeah. He's so cool. So.
And we have a great show this week.
Yeah. Oh, as a matter of fact, we do. We've got. We're featuring Cassidy Randall from Women's Voices for the Earth. And if you haven't heard of them, check them out. And you must check out their video, Detox the Box, which is hilarious.
Oh, that's hilarious, yeah.
But also really like every woman should be aware of these issues. And again, it's something we don't probably think about so much, and we need to. And that is all of the toxins and the chemicals that can be that are in most feminine hygiene products.
Yeah, and they do an amazing job in raising awareness about all of these toxins, they're working to eliminate the chemicals from our daily life.
So yes.
Hooray for them.
So, yeah, you want to listen to Cassidy. And then we are talking to your buddy, Rolly Montpellier. I'm trying to say it like sort of French, and I'm failing, but because, you know, he really is from Canada and he speaks French.
And he's a green dude.
And he's a super green dude from BoomerWarrior.com. And, of course, he spoke English for this thing. But it's funny because we just were up in...
Which is good.
Yeah, right? No, but we were just up in northern, very northern Maine in the Acadian region where most people do speak French and English. And I could hear his accent. I was like, oh, yeah, I just heard that for like 2 weeks. That's so cool. Anyway.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear his interview. He's got a post going up, and he's also participating in the World Water Week Twitter chat.
Yeah. He's a really interesting guy who's just been very motivated to get active for climate change and awareness. And we talked about being grandparents, you know, and he was very motivated by his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. He doesn't sound like a gramps. He's just a really cool grandpa.
Well, I can't wait to hear about the Hopper Foods.
I don't
think I could necessarily eat it, but I guess, you know, if pressed, I would probably have to, or if you paid me some money.
Well, I might try. You know, I might try, but it does. It makes your skin crawl initially. But Jack Keedle, who's the CEO and founder of Hopper Foods, you know, and again, he was motivated, and I had no idea about this, but he was motivated by water because, you know, that pound for pound, the protein from crickets and cricket powder, by the way, he said, it, you know, you don't see any cricket bits. It's cricket. They make it into like a flour, and it's super healthy. Probably more so than beef for many reasons. But anyway, pound for pound, it's 1,000 times less water used.
Wow. Yeah, that's huge.
That is huge. And he is also a water guy. Hopefully he'll be able to, you know, you will have heard his voice in our Twitter party, but or Twitter chat, if you will. Anyway, really interesting guy. And so after talking to him at the end, I was like, okay, all right, you can send me a bar. I will try it.
Well, if you're going to try one, I guess I can try one.
We can be brave. We can be brave. It's for the earth.
Speaking of wildlife.
It's for the earth.
Right. I know. It's important.
Hey, you were about to run naked through Chicago.
Well, yeah, it came to mind. I was pretty close to doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, you were. It will happen.
Maybe one day I'll do it.
It will happen, but just not next week.
Yeah, not next weekend for the Chicago Climate March, September 6th.
Yeah, but I'm impressed. Yeah, you know, the things we do for the love
of... You're impressed that I thought about it.
Well, yeah. Well, because I would not run naked anywhere. Anywhere. I don't even run naked through my house, you know.
Well, and it's easy to talk about if the time actually came upon me that here I am about to go out the door with no clothes on. I don't know. What would happen? I don't really know if I could go through with it, but...
Well, it's an impressive thought. And let's be honest, you were going to paint, have a professional body paint artist paint you like the earth with blue and greens, and then, you know...
Right. So as long as there's no rain or I don't sweat a lot, I'm good for a while. I don't necessarily look naked.
Right. And you might have, you know, tiny bit of placed cloth or leaves or something, you know.
Right. Well, right. They do beads. They glue beads.
Beads. Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah. We'll see.
Speaking of wildlife, G.D. Lynn Wildlife, we had a really interesting conversation to kick off our wildlife series, our segment and podcast series, which, what do we name it? Green Diva's Heart Wildlife. Is that what we named it?
Who doesn't love wildlife? Yeah,
who doesn't love wildlife?
That's what we named it.
I mean, really, seriously. Like, you go on the internet and everybody's got pictures of, like, really cool little animals, and we're just totally right there with everybody. So the
And, you know, it's all part of our ecosystem.
It is.
You knock one of them out, and what happens?
Well, yeah. Change. And they're just part of our world, and we got to love
them. They share the earth with us.
Yeah. And you know what? Cockroaches and grasshoppers do too, but, you know. Anyway, I digress.
Well, that should be an interesting segment.
But
I do want to mention... Oh, go ahead.
Well, I just want to mention it was by the Queen of Green, David Suzuki's Queen of Green, who is Lindsay Coulter, and she's been on with us before, and we did a couple of segments that day, but this one was really kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, and I just want to put a plug in for the Chicago Green Metropolis Fair on September 14th.
Yeah.
Changing the subject.
Yeah.
Because I know we have a limited amount of time, but that's I'm going to be there. It's in Chicago. Check my Twitter feed, Green Diva Lynn. You'll see tweets about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to be busy. And then, of course, we have the People's Climate March coming up here in New York on September 21st, which... sadly, we will miss because we will be on a plane to Hawaii that day.
Yeah, poor us.
Sad for us.
That'll be a great trip.
It will be
a great
trip.
We'll be coming back with lots of videos and information about sustainability in Hawaii and all the great food they have there.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much cool eco stuff going on. I can't wait to check it out. And you know what? Our next call is coming in. So
I better let you go.
One more thing we do have to say, thank you, a heartfelt thank you to buygreen.com, which is a trusted source for great green products, and we are very grateful to them. So please go to thegreendivas.com/marketplace and see the link at the top of the page and go to buygreen.com and shop and have fun. Okay, stay tuned. Lots more coming up.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Oh, this is going to be a fun one, people. We have Jack Keedle, who is the founder of Hopper Foods, talking to us today about the environmental value and the real benefit of eating insects. How cool. Oh, my God. Hi, Jack.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying. I'm, like, itching. I'm actually, you know, just it's like, you know, some of us just have a visceral, you know, reaction to the word insect.
Some people do. It is certainly true.
So you...
One has to desensitize oneself to that.
Well, I can see that there's value in this, and I'm looking forward to being converted. As of now, I'm still just a little bit, you know, I'm not there. But I think you're doing some really creative things. Tell us really quickly what you're doing with Hopper Foods.
Well, what we are doing is we are on a mission essentially to normalize the concept of entomophagy, of eating insects. And
Wait a minute. Go back. Say that word again.
Entomophagy.
Okay.
It means to eat insects.
All right.
So we're trying to let people know that this is something which is done in, you know, I think 80% of the world's cultures is the phrase that we're using. I mean, most people in the world have eaten insects at some point during the evolution of their cultures, and it's only a fairly recent thing in the West that we've moved away from this. And what we are doing is we're launching with an energy bar, so an all-natural energy bar made with fruits, nuts, seeds, and ground-up crickets. And this obviously has a very, very interesting nutritional profile, has very, very large amounts of protein, iron, calcium, potassium, magnesium. And the way that we're presenting it in the bar is that, you know, it's like stealth insect. You know, it's ground to a powder.
Stealth insect.
You can't really, exactly. You can't tell it's there. But you know it's there from the nutritional profile, and then we plan to, broaden our range of insect-based products as people become more accustomed to it and as we develop the market.
You know, I remember in the 70s, my mother went through a phase of buying chocolate-covered ants, and I believe there were grasshoppers involved.
Yes, I think that there's been a number of attempts to launch this kind of thing. I think that there was a valiant attempt to rebrand crickets as land shrimp back in the late 80s, which didn't really catch on.
Land,
I think one
shrimp.
Of the one of the main reasons for this was that people thought that because it was like a shrimp, you would take the exoskeleton off, but in fact, you know, the exoskeleton is where a lot of the nutrient is, and so we grind the whole cricket up into a powder, and I think that, you know, you touched upon the fear factor or the ick factor,
right.
And the way that the game changer in terms of edible insects this time round has been the creation of insects in a powder form. So quite often, you know, if we're doing an event, we'll have people come up to the stand and they'll say something similar to what you said, and you win them over by, you show them that the insects are in a powder when they go into the bar. You show them all the other great ingredients that go in there. There's no preservatives or anything, and all the market research, both conducted by us and by other organizations, suggest that it's the legs and the antenna which scare people. And so once people realize that there's no danger of them getting something stuck in their teeth, because it looks very like sort of cinnamon. If you imagine ground cinnamon.
Yeah, I was going to say, what color is it? Right, so it's sort of a cinnamony color.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, okay. So, and obviously, you know, I mean, I hate to say this, but, you know, there is a tolerance in this country here. When you eat any kind of food, most food, the FDA does have an allowance and a tolerance for certain amount of bug debris to be in the food.
Yes.
Isn't that correct? So, I mean, we're eating it anyway, probably.
I mean, I think you are eating trace elements of insects in just about all food that you eat. And that is one of the really interesting things from the sort of regulatory side, in that when, you know, everyone first started looking at this, sort of at the sort of rebirth of the ento industry, maybe, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, when we started sort of getting the FDA to look at this again, it was clear that this is the only way in which the regulations really approach it. So we are really, you know, we're in a brave new world where we're educating the FDA and working with them and the USDA to build new guidelines for this kind of thing.
So talk to us a bit about what the actual benefits are. You know, you talk about it being environmental. It seems like there's some rational reasons why it would be. And obviously it's healthy for us.
The main reason why it's so environmentally friendly is because it uses so little water in comparison with other animal proteins. And obviously that's particularly relevant in the U.S. at the moment, because so much of the country is in drought, and a lot of the climate projections suggest that we're going to have some very, very long droughts in the next 100 years. So if you compare crickets with beef, to produce an equivalent amount of protein, and it's comparable protein. This is one of the things that people always assume, is they think, well, obviously it's not as good protein as a sirloin steak. It's not true. It's high quality, complete protein. It has all 9 essential amino acids. To compare an equivalent amount, so 1 pound of cricket protein versus 1 pound of beef protein, requires 1,000 times less water.
Wow.
1,000 times less water, about 5 times less feed, a fraction of the land, and it also then produces far less runoff. So if you have a large beef or pig farm, you'll have a lot of wastewater runoff, and also methane and other gases. So you can sort of farm these quite intensively without with a very marginal environmental impact.
Now, we've got to wrap up in a minute, but I have another question, and that is, sure. What kind of reaction do you get from vegans and those that are really very morally tied into not harming any animals or even bees? Some vegans won't even use honey because it comes from bees.
With vegans specifically, we are sort of having a lot of interesting ongoing discussions. I think that on the whole, it's the vegetarian side, I think that breaks very much into environmental and then philosophical vegetarians. And I think the environment, the sort of pragmatic vegetarians are coming on board very fast. I think the philosophical vegetarians, which the vegans sort of fall into, I think that there's a perception that rather than, in many ways, it's cruelty to the power of, 100,000 because you're consuming so many more. I think that there's an interesting and ongoing debate to be had there. And I think that one of the things that has to be, which I'm always at pains to explain to this demographic, is that the way that the crickets are farmed and the way that they are they're harvested is extremely humane. So the way that, and I was having a conversation with an entomologist on Friday who endorsed it down to the ground. So I was very, very happy about that, because as a marketer, you worry that you're in an echo chamber, and then you go and you speak to some experts, and they say, no, it's completely, we were having a very interesting three-way conversation with a philosophical veggie, and the argument that he made was most of these crickets are probably living for longer than their natural life cycle would be anyway.
Right.
They're being better fed, and the way that they are
dispatched,
the way they are dispatched, we're still hunting for the best word for that, but they're put into a fridge and an ice box, and the temperature is low at the point where, because they have low blood temperature, so they go into a sort of stasis of sleep, which is what they would do most nights anyway.
Yeah.
And then when they're in that state, the temperature sharply drops. So I think it's the way that most of us would like to go out, you know, in our sleep, no pain, no fear, no panic.
Yeah, I am really curious. I think I'm going to have to try one of the bars.
Well, we'll have to send you some samples.
Yeah, you will. Well, I really appreciate your time, and I'm really curious to see how things develop. And I know there's a lot more we can talk about, so let's stay in touch. And what's the website that people can go to find out more?
It's Hopper ATX, so H-O-P-P-E-R as in the company name, and then ATX as in Austin, Texas.
Oh, how cool. You're in Austin, of course. All right. Thanks so much, Jack. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Green Diva's Heart Wildlife. Who can resist all those videos and images of adorable baby animals? But sometimes these adorable creatures really need our help. Let's celebrate wild animals, learn about them, and do what we can to help them.
Ooh, this is kind of exciting. We are starting our new wildlife, Green Divas Love and Wildlife. I don't even know what the name of it is yet, but I'm excited that Lindsay Coulter is going to help us kick this off because she's got such great advice. Lindsay is David Suzuki's Queen of Green, and she is the Queen of Green. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So I love the idea for this particular segment, and I'm glad that we're going to be now, you're helping encourage us to start this particular series on wildlife, because we do love wildlife, and we want to help our animal friends as much as we can. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say today.
Excellent. Well, thank you for having me. And this really ties to all those reasons you're already, reducing the pollution that's going in the environment. We talked about, you know, what not to flush down the drain before,
right.
How to reduce your exposure to toxins. And all of this stuff really does have an impact. Of course, a lot of the reasons people are making some of these steps is not just to improve, you know, human quality of life, but also be nice to our wildlife neighbors. So it's all connected.
Yeah.
In particular, today I wanted to talk about how to adopt wildlife. So you'll see across the nation there's many different programs of, you know, how to adopt, a bird's nest for a season, or how to become a chimp guardian through Jane Goodall's work, and how to save a polar bear and that type of thing.
Right.
So I've broken down a few different ways that people can do this.
Oh, good. Do tell.
All right. So one of the simple ways is you can go by dollar value. So a lot of us in our, you know, philanthropy from our kitchen tables can be kind of constrained. So I've got a few tips that range from $0 to, you know, upwards of $50. And for example, a $50 program, a one-time purchase would be you can become a chimp guardian with the
cool.
Jane Goodall Institute. And her work goes to help orphans in the sanctuary that that she works on. And these types of programs, most of the time you'll get, you know, a plush chimpanzee
Aww.
Adoption certificate and different fact sheets to learn more about, you know, that particular chimp that you've helped save or improve their life. These are really great gift ideas, especially for your really young children, you know, the ones that are, let's say, not even realizing it's their birthdays. You can get something like this for, you know, a 1 or 2 year old that sort of leaves them a legacy. They might get a, you know, and most of these toys are sort of eco-friendly products
right.
and locally made and without, toxic ingredients, which is awesome. And they can have a certificate with their name on it and have something done in their honor. So there's a lot of symbolic Adopt-A-Critter
programs.
Well,
and it's a great way to help educate kids, because you can use it as a opportunity to talk to kids about why animals might need our help.
Well, and I think a lot of us feel really, get really heartbroken over when you see stories of whether it's, you know, animal abuse just in the news
Right.
Or bigger issues like, you know, not long ago there was a story about an elephant that was, you know, abused for over 50 years in India. And people, you know, you read these stories and you see things on Twitter and you scroll through the news and it can be really depressing and you wonder, you know, what is your role as an individual? You know, you might never go to India. You, of course, can't adopt, you know, physically an elephant. How do you help with even things like poaching, which is still rampant across Africa and India and other countries? You know, there's 300 tigers left, and these kind of things can be really overwhelming and daunting for us and give you, you know, sort of take your hope away. So these types of programs, you know, find a passion, whether it's by critter, like I say, elephants, there's blue sharks, there's red pandas, orangutans. I mean, you pick your critter or your nonprofit program, and there's lots of different ways that you can be involved. Like I say, everything from, you know, $25 upward to $50, and some of them have yearly programs. So there's an elephant rescue organization in Tennessee that I think you pay $50 U.S. and you get to adopt an elephant, help, you know, with their physical needs and providing them shelter and food, and you get updates on the actual individual. You can even adopt a bat.
Wow. Adopt a bat?
Yes.
Oh, well, I have some in my attic. I can adopt them out.
Exactly. Yes, yes. So you could be fostering, a foster parent of sorts. The other, so how you do this for $0, how to help wildlife, is check out things in your city or in your community. There's some really neat programs that I've found in my hometown that have, like, adopt a city block. So as a bunch of neighbors or maybe your workplace, you can actually adopt the block that you work on. And what that involves is, like, once or twice a year, you do a cleanup, let's say, around your block, or you help encourage, like, community gardens, or basically just make the space vibrant, keep it safe, and make it healthy for people and wildlife.
Right, right. What a great idea.
And that just takes a couple hours of your time. So,
oh, I like it. And what else? Was there other?
Well, there's an endless category. I have a list of about a handful of different organizations. But no matter where you live in the world, you can. A lot of these things can be purchased online. Again, you can find an organization that you believe in and trust in or passionate about. I've done some screening to help you narrow it down. Or like I say, you can go. You know, whether it's elephants or the blue shark or a chimpanzee, you can kind of choose which critter, and all the programs are a bit different, so just find out what makes you feel the best and you know, financially what you're able to,
well, thank you,
you're able to incur and help something out.
Thank you for doing the homework for us. I think that's brilliant and I appreciate it, and again, I hope that we have this post, we should, by the time this airs, on our website, and you can always go to queengreen.ca?
That's correct.
Yay! All right. Thanks so much, Lindsay. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Green Divas Heart Wildlife. Please visit thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about wildlife, nature, and a whole lot more.
Greetings, everyone. This is David Avocado Wolf, nutritionist, author, and chocolatier. And you're listening to The Green Divas. Listen close, tune in, and have the best day ever.
Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Yay! We are having a chat today with Rolly Montpellier. I don't know, I'm sure I didn't say it with my best French accent, but I'm trying. I'm really trying. Who is a climate activist, a blogger. He's a climate reality leader. He publishes boomerwarrior.org, which is a fabulous blog, and he's a grandfather. Hi, Rolly.
Hi, Meg. It's really nice to meet you and finally talk to you, well, not in person, but certainly on the phone.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
It is indeed.
So tell me, you know, how you came to be a climate activist, and then mm-hmm. you'll tell me a bit about Boomer Warrior.
Well, it's a rather interesting story, and I'm sure that my story is not unique. It's probably happened to thousands of other people, but you know, when I was in my 30s and 40s and busily making a living and putting kids through school and paying the mortgage and doing all those things that daily life throws at you, I didn't get very involved in things like climate or global warming. I guess, you know, intuitively I knew that we were doing some things wrong, of course, but I figured at some point in time I'll have to get back to those issues, and that's not very different from a lot of our 30-somethings and 40-somethings today. They are so wrapped up in their daily lives that they don't really stop to think very far down the road.
Right.
And for me, the change occurred when I retired, and especially when my grandchildren were born. As I say, I knew we were harming or probably destroying our planet, but I figured somebody will find the solution, or, you know, we have...
Right, somebody else will do it.
Well, yeah, that's why we elect governments. there are all kinds of environmental groups. So, and, you know, what can one person do? So, but when they were born, it was a real eye-opener for me, because... then I just knew that I had to do something about it. And I wrote a piece, a blog article on that not that long ago, and the title of the piece was, What Did You Do Once You Knew? And that's the question, right?
Yeah. Like,
what do you do once you know?
Yeah, yeah, you can't unknow it anymore.
You cannot know it anymore, and you can't not do something. So... That's how I came to start my blog and get some training through the Climate Reality Project, which is an Al Gore initiative in Chicago last summer. And I've been writing, and I've joined the Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm involved with 350.org.
Yeah.
I write letters to the editor. I've been published in several online articles, as well as newspapers. So this has become my life and my passion, Meg.
Well, aren't we lucky that, you know, you're out there? I have loved seeing, you know, some of your work out there, and I'm glad, because I think we're going to benefit from from some of this. I think you'll be sharing with the Green Divas. And, of course, as a grandparent, mm-hmm. I love the perspective you bring to it. Because I think, you know, sometimes people say, and before I was a grandparent, I would say things like, well, sustainability means that, you know, I'm leaving the planet better for my children and my grandchildren. But when you actually have grandchildren, it suddenly becomes like, oh my gosh, I really have to step up and do something.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing, right? I mean, the covenant has always been that you leave the planet in better condition, or at least no worse off than when you arrived.
Right.
And maybe we're the first generation where this is not true anymore. I don't think I will be leaving the planet in better shape than when I found it. And so at first, when I became involved as a climate activist, it was really out of guilt. it really was.
Whatever works, I felt, man.
Well, yeah, but now it's more out of I do it because I see that there's hope, and you're a grandmother, you were saying, and you know how much joy and pleasure your grandchildren can bring. So that's the real positive side. But the flip side of that is that then there comes the accountability and the responsibility.
Yeah.
And then that's where you're involved in what you're doing, and I'm involved in what I'm doing.
Right, right. And how cool is it that we can – I mean, my kids do care about the environment. In fact, I have one daughter that's really an activist. She's like, Mommy, Mommy, will you march on Monsanto with me? And I'm like, cool. I brought this kid up right, you know. but somehow, you know, making sure that this next generation, because of course kids sometimes will listen to their grandparents in a way that they don't necessarily listen to their parents right away.
That's a good point.
Or they learn in a way because, you know, they're not just automatically rejecting it because mom sang it. And so if Yaya, that's my granny handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Yaya... You know,
and kids nowadays are so smart. I mean, they are exposed to a lot. And
yeah.
The trick, though, to talk... The trick with young children is to be able to talk to them about the planet and climate
yeah.
change without alarming them. Because,
right.
That's kind of a... That's fairly delicate. There are a lot of sensitivities around that.
Well, I think that's an important point because, I mean, you could really you can terrorize an adult.
Well, that's true.
Fairly
that's
easily. True. And that's one of the things that Green Divas strive, what we try to do is to have a sort of low stress, no guilt approach, you know, and not just beat people with terrifying statistics, but to say like, yep, there's a problem here and we're going to try to find a solution together and we all make a difference, that kind of positive message.
Well, exactly. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with some of the articles I'm writing on my blog. I mean, I write about, you know, putting a price on carbon in a positive way.
Right.
I've written an article about carbon fee and dividend, and this is a pricing mechanism it's like a tax on carbon, but it's one where, and it's supported fairly broadly now in the United States, less to a lesser degree in Canada, because
right.
we have a prime minister who's a bit of a fossil in many ways.
I could hear you searching.
I'm not sure if you're supposed to get if you can get political on.
Oh, absolutely. I could hear you searching for a diplomatic term. Thank you. That was funny.
But our government in Canada is so focused on tar sands development I believe we're foregoing a lot of opportunities in the green energy sector. But that can be the object of another radio piece.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
At any time. But what's come out with carbon now is the RIMI study, which is the Regional Economic Models
right.
Inc., I believe.
Yeah.
And that came out about a month ago in the States, and it's gaining some pretty broad support, even conservatives in the U.S. are in favor of it to a large degree because it's a tax that would be or a fee that would be returned to households as direct payments. And so the findings of this study are quite interesting.
People
and,
like that. You
as
know,
I said, gaining support.
It's funny because people really are so driven initially. Many people. I'm not going to say everybody. Let's not generalize. But many people, mm-hmm. if you tell them this will save you money, or you will get money as a result, they're like, okay,
yeah.
I like it, you know. But
yeah, well, you know, it's sometimes I say, you know, you do things for the wrong reason, but as long as you do it,
yeah,
that's the main thing.
Whatever gets you in,
if you can put revenue back in people's pocketbook, and at the same time you're reducing emissions and you're starting to move towards a lower carbon world. It's all good. It's all good.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, well, it's all good. It's all getting in the – it's like people who complain – I'm going to rant for a tiny second. People who complain that Walmart, you know, why are there organics mm-hmm. in Walmart? It's a terrible thing. And I'm like, not really. I mean, it's not perfect. Walmart is not perfect. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, when they start to set these standards – it makes a difference in major, major productions and – again, it's not, you know, factory farming or whatever is not perfect.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
if they are starting to produce in a little bit more sustainable and organic, you know, through organics, then go for it. I mean, you know, and it's exposing people that otherwise might not be thinking about these things.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think we're I really think we're on the cusp of a third industrial revolution. You can read about the coal revolution and what that did back in the
right.
1800s, and
right.
then came oil. But now, now with renewable energy, especially solar, solar is enjoying such a tremendous growth this year.
Good.
And combine that with the new technologies and internet-like distribution of energy, I think we're on the cusp of the third industrial revolution. I read an interesting book about that not too long ago. And so I'm very optimistic. So as I said a while ago, I was my initial involvement with climate activism was out of guilt, but now it's more about I feel a bit of momentum, and kind of been re-energized in the last 6 months.
Yep.
Especially with Obama coming out on maybe a little bit late in the process, but at least coming out with a lot of interesting initiatives and setting the tempo for what's going to happen in Lima this year.
Yep.
And going into Paris 2015 to carve for an agreement on emissions that will replace Kyoto. Those are crucial international meetings that many experts say is our last chance to bring this under control.
Well, we got to wrap up now, Rolly, but I'm really looking forward to having you back. And when you're down in the New York area, you must come to the studio and play.
I would love that.
And in the meantime, folks, you really need to go to boomerwarrior.org. Is there an S?
Correct.
Okay, boomerwarrior.org. And thank you so much, Rolly, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm sure there'll be a post. I think you were going to do a post for us. Am I correct?
I will. I will write about a post about our interview today.
Cool.
And before we want to thank you, actually, for inviting me to be on your show today. And congratulations on the success of your show. I've listened to many episodes, and I like this kind of the kind of dialogue you have with your guests. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Oh, we're going to have fun today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're talking to Cassidy Randall, who's Director of Outreach and Engagement for Women's Voices for the Earth. Hi, Cassidy.
Hi.
And she is one of the brilliant women behind one of our favorite videos that we've posted.
Clear recently. Your voice, man. You are going to have to say this one.
Cassidy, I love your work in general, but this Detox the Box campaign and video is awesome for so many reasons, not to mention just hilarious.
Hilarious about a serious subject.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
So
yeah, I would love to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, tell us how, tell us how it, obviously why, and then how it came about and how you all did the video, because it's pretty funny.
So Women's Voices for the Earth, we amplify women's voices to eliminate toxic chemicals in consumer products that harm women's health. And just last November, we launched our campaign called Detox the Box on toxic chemicals in feminine products like douches, wipes, washes, sprays, pads, and tampons. One of the reasons that we did this, one, is that no one is talking about this, and two, that we are finding some really scary things in these products. So let me give you an example. One of the reasons we decided to tackle this campaign is that doctors are increasingly giving hormone treatments vaginally because those treatments can be absorbed 10 to 80 times faster straight into our bloodstream without being metabolized first than if they were taken orally. And we are finding hormone disruptors in these products, commonly used as ingredients, and carcinogens and reproductive toxins, allergens. And so what we have decided to focus on for the moment are top-selling Tampax tampons and Always pads made by Procter & Gamble. And the reason for this, one, is that companies don't actually have to list any ingredients in pads and tampons. And so
that
it's touching some of the most absorptive skin on our bodies, and yet companies don't have to tell us what's in there.
Oh.
Secondly, we know that Procter & Gamble uses really scary chemicals like styrene, which is a known carcinogen, like synthetic musks, which are hormone disruptors. And women deserve to know if those are in products that they are using for several days at a time on a monthly basis, right?
Right, right. Wow. Absolutely. In one of the more absorbent, as you said, to highlight
Exactly.
Wow.
And, you know, as one member actually said just last week, you know, the last thing that women need when they're on their periods is hormone disruptors.
Yeah, right? Don't disrupt my hormones, baby.
Even husbands can agree on that.
Exactly. And so the thing is, we know this is a hard campaign to talk about, right? Nobody likes to talk about feminine care products, pads and tampons, in polite company, let alone what the chemicals in them could be doing to our lady parts. And so we needed a fun way to talk about this. And so what we did was we spoofed Justin Timberlake's uber-popular SNL skit, Dick in a Box.
Yeah.
And it's called Detox the Box. And we had a community of people who volunteered some amazing time to put it together for us, and would love for everybody out there to go watch it and then share it with every woman you know.
Yeah.
We have already had over 28,000 views on this video, and we need more to get Procter & Gamble to really listen to us. So we know that they're already paying attention. They've been on our website 30 times since we released this video, but we really need them to take notice. And the more negative publicity like this hilarious video we can get out there, the more they will actually listen.
Terrific. Great work.
Well,
thank you.
You know, I love, and we do that. We love to use humor as a way of kind of conveying a difficult message, because it isn't much fun to talk about.
Exactly.
Oh, climate change is a hoot.
Well, that's what I mean. There's so many, like, you know, deadly serious,
yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, people just, it's very difficult for people to pay attention. So I just love the video. Well,
thank you. Thanks for spreading the word on it.
Yeah, we posted it from, I guess we grabbed it from EcoWatch, because we partner up with Stephanie over at EcoWatch.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to make sure we re-highlight that for you.
So, thank you. That would be great.
So,
and if you all can figure out a way to get Justin Timberlake to tweet it out, that'd be great, too.
Oh, yeah, that shouldn't be too hard, right?
We'll work on that. So tell me some of the other things that you're doing as well.
Sure. With Women's Voices, we kind of come at this issue of toxic chemicals in women's health from a three-pronged approach. And the reason for this is that we were really born out of this belief that women have just tremendous political, economic, and social power to change the systems that allow toxic chemicals and products in the first place. And so we come up with tools and resources for women to become leaders in their own communities, to spread the word about the issue, to take action. So heart and soul to our mission is really involving women in our work so they can use that social power.
Yeah.
The second thing we do is work with companies to actually reformulate products, because, as we know, that's a much faster way at this point than working on policies.
Yeah.
And so we run campaigns against, for example, Tampax and Always, and engage women to use their massive amount of economic power to convince companies to change. So women make more than 85% of consumer decisions on the marketplace, which is just a massive, massive amount of economic power, and we see this work time and time again with Tide, with Johnson & Johnson, Simple Green, just over and over. It's really amazing. And the third thing that we do is we do work on policies to actually regulate toxic chemicals on the marketplace. And women, more women vote in this country than men. Women vote more often in more elections than men. And that is also a really massive amount of political power. So we kind of come at this from a systemic approach, because we really believe that all products we pick up off the shelf should be safe, and all women everywhere should have access to safe products, no matter where you live, no matter what your income level. And so that's a little bit about what we're working on.
So you give some great tools. I know you've got a baby care shopping guide, and you're doing some work in the salon. I know my wife is always talking about the
all the chemicals in the salon
industry.
Absolutely. So we, in the issue areas that we work in, one of them is salons, and that's really, really focused on the women who are working in salons, because, they're exposed to
all day,
this toxic soup of chemicals all day, every day.
Wow.
And so on our website, we have a lot of resources for ingredients to avoid. Right now, on the campaign side, we're really working on getting Brazilian blowout off the market. That's a really toxic hair straightener. Mm-hmm. We also, we work on safe cleaning products. Unfortunately, you know, gender roles have changed over time, but women are still doing over 70% of the housework in the average home, and that just means we're more exposed to toxic chemicals and cleaning products. And so we've got a bunch of green cleaning recipes on our website and a couple of campaigns to, for women to engage in. For example, asking Glade to actually list what's in their fragrances.
Yeah.
Yeah, we work on cosmetics. Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy, isn't it?
Cosmetics, because products we put on our body should absolutely be safe.
Right.
We work on fragrance, which is definitely kind of a big deal in this day and age. I don't know if you guys have noticed all the fragrance marketing that is really big now.
Yeah.
So, and fragrance can contain a whole lot of toxic chemicals, most of which are kept secret, and women are actually more impacted by men by fragrance chemicals for a lot of really interesting physiological reasons.
Yeah, so, I know. I'm extremely sensitive to I can get a migraine headache from a strong
walking
perfume.
Down the wrong aisle at the supermarket.
Right.
It's true.
It's awful.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So it's womenvoices.org, right, is where we can find all these great resources?
Yes, definitely, womensvoices.org.
And men can visit, too. Speak up for your women, men.
Definitely, yes, absolutely.
Well, and I love that what you're doing is, you know, because obviously we, as you said, you know, regulation is not happening anytime fast or in an effective way. Yeah, there's a little bit going on, but it's just, it's not. So, yeah, you know, it's like consumer demand. When we start standing up and saying, hey, man, and nobody responds better to negative PR than corporations.
The bottom line.
Right, because it does affect, I mean, you know. So
Exactly.
Well, and I can imagine you partner with all kinds of great organizations that are doing similar work. I know it's a tough battle against the corporate dollars and resources and influence.
Exactly. When we do, we work with a lot of different partners. We, you know, some well-known ones might be the Breast Cancer Fund, the Environmental Working Group.
Mm-hmm.
And with our Feminine Care campaign, we're really interested in reaching women of diverse audiences. You know, there's not a lot of research or studies, unfortunately, on toxic chemicals and feminine care and women's health. But what we do know is that Black and Latino women are greater users of douches, wipes, washes, and sprays, which contain some of the more toxic chemicals. And so we partner with organizations that represent that demographic.
Oh, good.
You know, we are
terrific.
Six white women in an office in Montana, and so we know that we want to partner with organizations to increase our reach, to make sure that our messages are culturally competent, and to make sure that we can have the greatest impact that we can together.
Well, it's very certainly impressive. A Green Diva thing. You know, what you're doing is focused on the same market that pretty much, you know, even though we have dudes, we do have our green dudes, and we love our green dudes.
At least one.
So I'm looking forward to working with you more and talking to you more as things unfold, and we'll definitely promote Detox the Box more, because every woman needs to understand this stuff.
So what is your goal for views so we can keep track as our listeners tune in and we share it with our networks? You said
you know, our low goal was 50,000. Our high goal is 100,000.
Okay.
All right. We can do
Let's work on it. Come on, Diva Land.
Yeah, great.
We're on it, man.
Great. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for calling, Cassidy. And I want everybody to go check out womensvoices.org. And, of course, go to thegreendivas.com for all kinds of other relevant information, including the video. But you got to go to Women's Voices first.
Thanks, Cassidy.
Thank you, guys.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.